like to use essential oils to throughout my sharing, and I'm going to be sharing on communication. So the first oil we're going to use is Anchor. And so you put one drop in your hand, rub your hands together, rub it on the back of your neck, and then inhale. And then it'll stay on your hands for a bit, so you can continue to inhale as I'm talking. So I'm going to share on communication. And we're all mature Christians here, so you know what happens when God wants you to share on something. All of a sudden, it's like you get in a vortex of what he wants you to share on. And it's like kaboom, kaboom. And so your whole entire life, everything about your life is starting to vibrate with the topic at hand, which is connection and communication. And even though I didn't realize this until later in the week, I look back now and I see how God was very, very, very much into preparing me all along the way. And one of the ways that he prepared me, many ways he's prepared me, but one of the ways that he prepared me was Wednesday night at our house. Well, even before that, when Julia texted me and she said, "Are you feeling up to having it? We certainly could change and I could have it at my house." When you texted me and I read the text, I just sat there and I just stared at the text and I began to cry. I was like, the impact of your communication to me, I got more out of it than just a text. I got your heart. I got your thinking about me. I got the communication was huge in my mind. So at the moment, that's what happened to me. I didn't realize it until later, the more powerful impact that it had on me. And then when you showed up at the house with flowers, oh, it just, I mean, I mentioned it to you the next day. It was just much going on as far as communication is talking about. Thursday night, we have bench. I go over to Kristen's. We're tapping in with John on the internet, and he texts and he goes, Are we on? Kristen texts and she goes, "Queuing." Because we're all on the same thread here. I text and I go, "Yep, we be spot on no matter what the enemy throws. Hallelujah." So, okay, that was before we even started. Then we go and we do the bench stuff. And it's all about communication. It's about our license, our communication license, which I'm unclear at the moment how much we've shared with you guys and how much you know about that. So I'll share a little bit later about what that means. But we decided to go in and figure out if there were any obstacles, blockages, or anything coming against our communication license that we needed to deal with to make sure that the lines were open on this media mountain, this communication mountain, the ability for people to flow to us and us to flow to them, the ability for finances to come to us, and for the ability for us to release finances. And Kristen had some pretty amazing things with her financial situation that she shared with John and I in the very beginning before we started into this. And so when by the time we get done with the bench, God just reminded me of the texts that we had just had together. And I go, I read them again and I went, "Are we on? Queuing. Yep, we'd be spot on no matter what the enemy throws. Hallelujah." We framed up our whole evening without knowing anything. And so that's kind of a quick opening. And so when I was trying to do this, I was looking at this question number 3 that we went over. And I decided to look up the definition of communication. And in the Webster Dictionary, it says that communication is the act or the process of using words, sounds, signs, or behaviors to express or exchange information or to express your ideas, thoughts, feelings, etc. to someone else. And then I looked up in Wikipedia, and it says that it comes from a Latin word meaning to share. It's the act of conveying meanings from one entity or group to another through the use of mutually understood signs. And then semiotic rules, which are sign rules. It's the rules of different kinds of signs. Not as good at this thing as Kristen is, but I'm going to try to...
Her iPad.
To figure out so I can go... Well, maybe I won't need to. So when I explored in Wikipedia the communications, it went through... 8 or 10 inherent things common to communication. Then it went on verbal communication, nonverbal communication, human communication, communication within bacteria. I mean, it became so vast to me as I'm looking at it. I'm going, I can't even comprehend all of this communication. I was just thinking about communication between me and my God and you guys and my family. And so I thought what that did is it put a scope in me of the many ways to communicate. Now, human communication is higher than the plant communication and the microorganisms and stuff. But God is over all of those communications and the intricacy of those communications and how important it is in holding the universe together in His mind. And so then that brought me to Him and like, oh my gosh. How important is this to Him? What is the most important thing? Then I received an email from a friend from the past, which we all know, whom we all know, asking me questions about an encounter that he'd had with my daughter and her friend. And he was asking about the situation. I, at that moment, had a choice as to how I wanted to communicate. Because I know this person's heart. I trust their heart. But in the way they communicated, I also saw that they were still... in a place in their spiritual life that had not grown much from when I was in direct communication with them all the time. And knowing that, I thought that determines how I'm going to communicate. And I immediately, it took me a few minutes, I pondered on going blah. And realizing that that was not honoring, it was not loving, it was not kind, and it was not respectful to my God, myself, or my daughter and her life. So I thought about it. You need to know. I went there, and then I decided, you know, it's really, what's the bottom line here? What does God want from this email to me concerning this and concerning this? What does God want? What is the bottom line in God's eyes here? And I believe he got me. He told me it was connection. Connection. And then he showed me that his most important thing is connection. His most important thing is intimacy with your heart. Intimacy with you and you and you and me. and them. And so I go, okay, connection. So connection with me and this person who just wrote me and wanted an answer. So knowing what my, this was really cool because I thought knowing who I am, what's my redemptive gifts, who am I, how do I live in this moment, in this communication, in this connection, how do I live there? And he impressed upon me that he wanted me to bring him up to him, bring this person up to him. And I go, okay, how do I do that? And then he shared with me how to do that. And last night I wrote the email and sent it. So so my goal there was to bring him to a higher place. With his father first, and if I don't care what happens between me and his relationship, although I know that's important to God, so it's important to me too. So I've had so many opportunities this week to communicate. I spent all day yesterday and the day before that communicating and talking with my family, my mom for an hour and a half, my sister for 2 hours, my, you know, and then, you know, yesterday I went to Portland and I was talking with, Monica for hours, and then I, on the way home, 2 hours, I was talking to my sister on the phone, came home and talked to my mom again. I mean, it was just communication. And it was, I sat there and I literally got to do this stuff that we worked on about listening, about asking the right questions, about not interjecting, but hearing their heart. At one point, my mom made the comment where she said, I am sorry that I called you to dump on you like this. And I said, okay, Mom, I hear you that you're sorry and that you feel badly and that you feel like you dumped on me, but now it's time for you to listen to the way I feel. And I looked at her and I said, I feel so honored and so loved and so respected, and that you were very kind to me, that you called me on the phone and said, Susan, I need to talk to you. Because what would it have been like if I had have known, found out about what you told me via the communication lines outside of this relationship, what would it made me feel like? I would have been dishonored, disrespected. I would have felt you didn't care, you didn't love. I said, we are a family because of this reason, that there are things in our life that are going to come up that are going to be awful. And we need to be locked arms together and go through it together. There are things that are going to be just absolutely victorious, and we need to be able to praise the Lord and give him the praise in those times, because those times will help us through the bad times. And I said, I'm not negating your feelings. But I said, now my feelings are, I want to thank you for honoring me. Which, she sat there and had nothing to say. I have seen my mom grow so much in the last 5 or 6 months. She is taking a stand like she's never done before, and she doesn't believe she is. In fact, one of the reasons she called me down there to talk is just she wanted to say she was done with Thursdays. She didn't want to be a part of them anymore. The three of us could continue, but she didn't want to. I said, not gonna happen. If God wanted you alone, he would have put you on an island, and I'm sorry he put you in the family, so you're here. But in that, I'm looking at how to communicate, and before I got there, there was a conversation that happened between the three of them, and it's the first time that my mom has ever, in front of my brother and my sister, made honest feeling comments, communications that were not angered and pointed and you. And she said yesterday, I'm just not hiding. I'm tired of hiding. And I'm like, yes. You know, the barn phone would ring and I would answer it and I'd hear a click and my mom is listening on the other side, not thinking that nobody knows. You know, it's just, no, she's done with that. And that to me is a hallelujah. So communication is huge. It is huge. And as I'm going through this, I realize that the biggest communicator of all is God. When I looked at his word and how he wrote it, the Spirit of God touched men and he wrote, and how that, you know, all of this stuff, and you know how we communicate, it just gets so. We don't understand, you see things differently. How did he get men of God to write like that and have the Bible just be what it is? And on the surface, if you're a surface person, you get the surface stuff. If you are hungry and thirsty, you go deeper and you get the jot and tittles. He's amazing. He's the greatest communicator. And what's the most perfect and the greatest communication? It's love. It's who he is, it's what he is, it's how he is. And when things are done in love, which then, oh dang, I forgot to bring my Bible. Sacrilegious here.
Have one here.
Okay. But I wrote it down, didn't I? Yes. Ooh, and I can read this one.
Yeah, bigger print. So you don't have to get specs on.
Which brings me to, well, I'm in Mark. I mean, I guess it's in all the Gospels, but or in John too, and that's where most people go. But this one, that's where I went. So Mark 12:28 says, then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, ask him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and to love one's neighbor as yourself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now when Jesus saw that, he answered wisely. He said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. So to me, the greatest communication ever is his communication of love to us, to continue to have that connection. So what I wanted to do today is when I wrote the email and I said, I suggest that you do this. And I wanted to do it with us today. Pretty much for the most part of our married life, Steve has given, will walk around, and he, in just living life, he finds heart-shaped rocks. And he puts them in his pocket, and he brings them home, and he gives me heart-shaped rocks. And then when Justin, our youngest son, third child, picked up on his dad's little deal, and he gave me heart-shaped rocks until he moved out and he married. Then he gives his heart-shaped rocks to his wife. So I have, when I was coming here, and I'm carrying the box, and I thought, okay, what if somebody asks me what's in the box? I'm like, oh, it's just a box full of rocks. And God goes, excuse me, what attitude is that? I said, oh, it's a box full of love. So I was doing this, and I thought, okay. And God shared with me, he wanted me to give each one of you one of my heart rocks out of my heart box. I didn't know this was going to happen. But when I went to open the box to look at the rocks and see which one I wanted to give to each one of you, every heart, I don't remember who gave it to me. I don't remember why it was given. But when I receive the rocks, I look at them and I go, how did Steve see a heart here? How did Justin see a heart? And what was he thinking when it happened? You know, I put him in my pocket until I get home. So they run around with me for a while, and then I deposit him in the box. So I thought, okay, that's a great idea, God. Get a heart rock and give to each one of them, and then do the activation thing. That's a great idea. And I opened the box, and I started picking up the rocks, and I go, how can I give this one away? I thought of you and your coat, your varmint coat. And I thought, how am I going to give these away? And I go, because that's what he asked me to do. And each one of the rocks spoke to me. It was like love. I mean, what they represented God. I mean, you know, he says the rocks cry out. I experienced that this morning. The rocks crying out. I just was like, oh my gosh. And I said, okay, so how am I going to pick these rocks for these people? I know these people. They're intimate people in my life. Because it's kind of always been my, I'm not good enough. I don't hear the God well enough to know. I'm not going to. And so I'm looking through the rocks, and I'm like, and it was like, this one goes to Don. This one goes to Joe. This one goes to Sandy. It was just there. So what I would like to do is give you your rock. And I brought all my rocks so that you could see how you could look at them. This was my most, what did I do with it? This was my most recent one that Tiffany gave me.
Oh, that's almost a perfect heart.
I mean, where do you find rocks like this?
Well, probably angels.
In the spirit of the Lord, I mean, really. So that's the one Tiffany gave me most recently.
Could you show that again and put a pleasant look on your face? I didn't get it. I really want it. Thank you.
And so I brought the rocks because each rock represents somebody's perception. And sometimes when you turn the rocks over, there's a different shaped heart. Sometimes there's not a heart on the other side. So this is the heart
Would
rock.
Would you say that again? Sometimes when you turn it over.
When you turn the rock over, there's a different shaped heart on the other side, or there may not be a heart at all. Yeah. So this is the one I chose for you.
Thank you.
This is the one I chose for you. And so, you know, look him over. This is the one that I chose for Joe. This is Sandy's. And this is Julia's. And then you can look at these if you want to afterwards. So they're pretty phenomenal. This one Steve found for me when we were in Utah. This is the rocks of Utah. Mm-hmm.
The when you guys went on your trip.
Yeah.
Zion.
Zion, yeah. Cool. This was Bryce Canyon, actually. This one. So, and they're just, like this one, there's the heart, but you really can't see a heart here. And some of them, I mean, look at this one. This is, they're just incredible. This one. So, what I want to do is read Genesis 28. And we're all familiar with this. And we're going to put our heads down on our rocks. So this is the story of Isaac called Jacob and he blessed him and he said, go find a wife. And this is where you do. And so he obeyed and he took off. Jacob went out and he went to Haran or whatever. So he came to a certain place and he stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head and he lay down in that place to sleep. So he took a stone of that place. We're going to take this stone of our hearts and we're going to put our head on it and we're going to put ourselves into this dream that he dreamed a dream, and behold, a ladder or a stairway was set upon the earth and its top reached the heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending. So what I want to do is put our heads on the rocks, close our eyes, put our heads on the rocks, step on to see it stand, sitting on the earth, step up on the steps, take your time walking up the steps, and literally feel the angels passing by each side, left and right. Lord standing up at the top. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, this heart, the heart of God, the connection of intimacy, of love, and communication in this setting is yours, and I will give it to you and your descendants. All your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you, in your seed, all your families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you for wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken. And then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. I did not know it. So go up, take his hand, and have him show you. This is where I was thinking that possibly if you wanted to interject the what we're going to go get thing.
Anybody have any questions before we do the activation that Susan brought to us today? Is there any questions or comments or something, how you want Susan to maybe unpack it a little bit farther? Is there anything that you would like to
This is the next oil
ask line. Susan.
I'm waiting for Kristen for a moment to answer your question.
Do the same
thing. Mm-hmm.
What's this one?
A line.
Ooh.
So now we're aligning. We're going to go up the staircase and align ourselves with him. Anything?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and lead us through?
Okay.
What you're doing.
Okay, so since I'm talking about connection, I spoke of how Julia was connecting with me and my heart and my needs. I could go on. All of you did something there that night. You brought the tubs, which made me just realize you're remembering of who I am and your offer. And you know, it and then later you guys had left, but I had a really bad headache and it was bothering, and Kristen ministered to me, and through the ministering she got ministered to. So there was connection, and so in doing this, to know that this land is ours, that God has given us his heart, go up when you see the Lord and ask him to expound more of him and his heart to you concerning connection with one another, connection with what he has us to do, connection with your scroll, connection with who you are, and how to contribute to here.
You want to go ahead and lead us up the ladder?
Yep. Okay, so you can do whatever you want with a rock. Hold it, leave it on the table. Close your eyes and envision yourself in Jacob's shoes. You're going on a journey, expecting a positive outcome. And you see this staircase. You walk up to it. You step onto the first step, and the vibrations change. The staircase is vibrating with the movement, the sound, the wind of the angels going up and down, and engage with them. Just take your time and engage with that vibration. Up the staircase, stairway, as fast or as slow as you want to go. Take his hand and have a conversation with him. Ask him about the heart, the rock, his heart, his love, each one of us, your life situation. Now see yourself standing at the top of the stair with him, looking down the stairway and seeing the angels and ascending and descending from that perspective. And see yourself now walking back down the stairway with the deposit that he's given you to come back to Earth with. Now, as you stand here with what he's given you, from there, keep in mind that Christ is behind you, Christ is in you, Christ is beneath you, Christ is above you, Christ is on your right, Christ is on your left. When you lie down on your heart rock, Christ is there, and Christ is there when you sit down. Christ when you arise, Christ to shield you, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of you, and Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, we arise today. This one is called Arise. Quickly to go over this paragraph, jumping off of what we just did, as powerful people, we need to accept that confrontation is a healthy, essential skill that we must master to build healthy relationships. We must be willing to learn from even the most painful confrontations and keep getting back on the horse. You know, that's the first time, one of the few times that a statement like that has been put in the middle of a paragraph. It didn't mean anything to me. Not a thing. I don't know why I've asked him about it, but to me it's like, we need to keep putting our heart on the line. To try to manage our emotions, communicate honestly, listen well, serve generously, and stay true to the goal of connection. The connection with God first, with our heart, and then with other people. Where there'll be confrontations where we are gracious, honest, kind, safe, and respectful as possible, and the other person chooses not to listen, respond, or repair the connection, it happens. And it's heartbreaking. Those are the moments when we dive deep into the heart of Jesus, receive his comfort, healing, and grace to keep loving like he does in the face of rejection and fear. This is the most important thing to me. No matter what the other person does, our responsibility is the same. To forgive offenses, keep our love on, and keep going in our growing in our skills and ability to pursue and build connection. Connection first with him. I realize I'm not even a very good communicator with myself sometimes.
This is probably the worst table to sit at.
Why? Because of the breeze?
There's a sewer underneath us and there's a breeze coming right up from the drain. You feel that?
I didn't realize it.
It blew the skirt up.
Somebody
I
flushed.
I have that song cued if you'd like me to play.
I did feel it.
Yeah, we can play it.
Keep rises, we should do it.
So the last oil that we just put on was a rise. Forms of communication, negative and positive, and I feel that the communication that I have been getting from all of you has been one of love and support, and I believe that I'm able to do some of the things I'm doing right now with my family members is because of my relationship with all of you guys, and how I mean, I've known you guys for a long time, and that support and that love and the prayers is powerful. And when we went in to explore our communication license, we felt that there was a heavy weightiness to the importance of being given this license to communicate. When you think of the natural world, those communication licenses that the radios and places have to have, they have lots of legal things attached to them. And so when we went in, God showed us many things about things that were coming against our license. And so we went in and dealt with those things. And that night, you know, first of all, we framed it up with that little texting thing that we did. And then God showed us a whole bunch of stuff. Rules and laws concerning the introduction of inappropriate and unlawful weapons of torture into the kingdom of heaven and the various mountains thereon, things that were coming against our license. And so we went in and we took care of them and put up healthy boundaries, which is the rules and regulations of the communication license. We went up with the Lord and he put in place these healthy boundaries to connect or to protect our connection with him and our connection with sending out sound waves to resonate with people's spirits to come to attach themselves to our cell tower or our communication or our church or our ecclesia, our building that we're building here. And so when we got done, all of us felt not only that we'd done some pretty good work for that sound and vibration of who we are going out, but also that it was way bigger than we had imagined, and that I was in awe and wonder of the powerfulness of what that license has to do and what we have been entrusted with. So communication's huge. That's my word for this year, huge.